So welcome into another edition of Caffeine and Coaching. And by another edition, I mean the second episode, but another edition just sounds that much cooler. Today, we're very, very fortunate to have a very good friend of mine, a fellow coach, one of my personal coaches in years past, Mark Cerrone. So Mark comes to us from San Antonio. He is the owner of Paragon Training. Mark has been in endurance sports forever, basically, I think. Probably almost half of his adult life, which is pretty interesting. We kind of get into that a little bit. But today's topic, we're going to talk about consistency. What consistency means, how you find consistency and or even create the consistency, and how that really plays into the big picture. We're looking at the long play here, not the gains in 6 months. We're looking at where you're at 2, 3, 4 years from where you're currently sitting. And he and I both agree that consistency is the key to that. So we put together a little chat today. We tried to keep it relatively short. He and I are really passionate about what we do, and we can babble on for hours, as you guys know I can for sure. So without further ado, here is my chat with Mark Cerrone. Hope you guys enjoy it, and we will catch you next time. Thanks for coming on today, Mark. You know, we're super excited to have you, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier that, you know, you and I have, I guess you call it, an extensive history. You've known me since my infancy in the sport, and you were an old man in the sport by the time I came across you as a coach. And so tell us a little about yourself, Mark. Where are you at currently? What are you doing? You know, kind of what's going on with your life, and just who are you?
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. Yeah, I remember meeting you. We were living in Shreveport at the time, I think. And we had this conversation. Did Chris Avery refer you, or did you refer him to me? I don't remember. We met
there. I referred him over to you.
That's right. I remember you getting started in the sport and training for sprint distance. And I was I might have still been in college. I went to college in Tyler, Texas, at UT Tyler, and did some stuff with Cobb Cycling back then. And then in 2011, made the move here to San Antonio, and that's where I currently reside. And I kind of made that move. That was right when I earned my pro card and was going to give the professional triathlete thing a try. Made the jump down here to live with a family. I was actually tutoring their son and living with them and training quite a bit. And then I've just stuck around ever since. And now kind of one thing has led to another. I started a homeschool swim team that's grown into a full-blown USA swim club in the last few years. I still do, though. I work with some athletes privately, but I also work with the UTSA Triathlon Club, their collegiate program. I do a running camp in the summer, an 8-week training camp for high school runners. And then this last summer, we started a Splash and Dash kids swim run series for like 6 to up through high school, kind of to expose young kids to multi-sport, have some fun with it. And so just love San Antonio. I always tell people I've lived in Dallas, have family in Austin, visited Houston. I think San Antonio is the best city in Texas. So I love it here.
Well, and along the way, you know, the one thing you failed to mention is you just happened to find time to win an Ironman, right, this past year.
That's right. I retired from racing pro. I like to tell people that I retired.
Air quotes, when retired. I was
exactly, yeah. Not many people can say they retired at 26 years old, but 2 years ago I retired from racing pro. When I realized that that wasn't what was paying my rent. It was the working, actually, that was doing that. So I decided to put my energy a little more into the programs and groups I was coaching and building. And then this year I kind of got back into it a little bit more, felt the urge to train some. And so I did some time trial races, and then did Buffalo Springs 70.3 and won that. And then went and did my first Ironman in Coeur d'Alene. It took me 15 years of racing triathlon to do my first Ironman, but so far I'm undefeated in Ironman racing.
And retired.
Yeah, retired again. One and done, maybe. No, I'm signed up for Ironman Boulder again this year in June.
Awesome.
So we have a 10 to 12 athletes that'll be making the trip out to that one.
Well, you know, and that's a nice way to segue into our chat today about consistency. And you and I have talked offline about this, and this is something that's been weighing on me a lot here recently.
And I feel like we are in the midsummer mindset or mental box that some people get into, because a lot of athletes are far enough from their last race and not close enough to their next race to be caught in that little middle bubble. You know, and if you're not doing a lot of running races, if you're just a multi-sport athlete, it's the time of year where you step back and you go, what am I doing? Like, I don't feel like I'm getting any faster. You have the stress of holidays and family, and you're missing workouts, and priorities get shifted around, and you're kind of just stuck in no man's land. I think that for me, one of the toughest times as an athlete and as a coach of athletes is that Thanksgiving to Christmas window. Mm-hmm. And that window always presents itself with the opportunity of misses, right? Of whether it's, you know, I just don't feel like getting up early, or it's cold outside, or I'm in an off season break or whatever. And then that one thing leads to another, and we're sitting on the couch in our PJs eating ice cream at 8:30 AM.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, one of the greatest quotes, I think, in terms of that is by Wayne Gretzky, and it's, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. This is the time of year, this 1 month frame, there are a lot of shots that should be taken that aren't taken. And that's where consistency comes in. And the goals that you have in your racing coming up in early, late spring, or even summer for you, those gains are being made now. And it's through consistency.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, with the holidays, what gets in the way is life obligations, right? Family and there's different work events and social events and kids events. And I think one thing that's important to realize with that is that it doesn't always have to be super structured training, you know, because there's always going to be different life things that happen. And, you know, one thing I'll say this year, with going and winning an Ironman and winning a 70.3. And, you know, I say I hadn't really trained for 2 years, cause I stopped racing pro in the fall of 2015, but I never stopped being active during that time. And I think that's the key, you know, part of it. When I kind of retired, there was some different, I was going through a divorce and work was getting busy. And, you know, with the swim team, I have, you know, we have a lot of weekends where I'm at swim meets all weekend. And I remember that last year racing pro, I'd go to a morning swim meet session on Saturday. We'd have a break. I'd go home, ride 80 miles, go back at 5 PM for the afternoon session. And was just like, this is nuts, you know, and I was finding a way to make it work, but it was crazy. And everyone has a different, you know, sort of job that's not ideal or not perfect, or, you know, they travel or whatnot. But, you know, one thing I realized when I quit racing pro is that I wasn't sure if I was going to gain 30 pounds, or, you know, I had no desire to race. But within a couple of weeks, I realized I like being active. Like, I like running, right? I don't ride my bike as much just because of that time commitment. I don't swim nearly as much because of the same thing, but I quickly just got back into doing some running, you know? And then I also realized, because I had so many years of consistent training under my belt, I felt better if I got up and ran 2 miles in the morning. And there'd be mornings where I had to be on deck at the pool at 6:30 AM. And so, you know, like a lot of adults that have jobs that way, you know, I'd get up and run 2 miles in my neighborhood because I knew I'd have more energy throughout the day than if I slept in, you know, an extra 30 minutes. So it was better for me to get up and run a couple miles. And that, for that next year and a half, you know, before I started training again, I wasn't training, but I was exercising, you know, 5 days a week, 6 days a week. And then every now and then there'd be a Saturday where, you know, maybe with a group of friends, I'd go on a little bike ride. That was very sporadic for a year or so, but I never stopped being totally active. And I think that was one key, you know, it wasn't training consistently per se, but it was being active consistently.
Right.
Yeah. And I maintain good control of my diet. You know, I just eat, I don't eat particularly healthy, but I don't overeat. You know, I actually lost a little weight when I stopped, racing pro. And that's been the key. And that's why this year, when I started training again regularly, you know, I still didn't train really. I averaged 9 hours a week all year, which isn't a ton. But why I was able to get back into it pretty quick, because I never stopped being active and healthy, right? I wasn't training for triathlon. But I also had years of, you know, working hard behind me. But I found that to be one of the keys. Just staying healthy and active is important, not just, like you said, sitting on the couch.
Right, right. And you know, we're actually doing this chat via Google Hangouts. And what a lot of people can't see right now is I think what's made the biggest difference for you, from my point of view, knowing you over the years, is your beard is fantastic right now.
And I grow it out in the winter. I mean, it helps with
it's, but it's consistency to grow a beard too, right?
That's true. Yeah. So you got to do it.
You're practicing what you preach. But no, you made a really good point. And that's something that I'd love to challenge people to do. And it's try hitting your workouts first thing in the morning. Do that for 4 weeks. It's gonna suck. If you're not a morning person, it's going to be rough. And I'm going through that transition myself now, making myself get up in the morning, doing something, being active. Not necessarily structured. It could be, like you said, a 2-mile run. It could be a 7-minute core workout. Get up and do whatever your workout is. Get up and do it in the morning, because as the days go on, and we all have to be adults, as the days go on, things pile up. Kids get sick. We end up with an evening, you know, obligation, whether it's work or personal or whatever, family time, things like that. Do that for 4 weeks and watch how fit and naturally consistent that you become as you go. I think that's one of the biggest things from my perspective that is, to me, is a pretty easy win. Would you agree?
Yeah. I used to not be a morning person at all. I hated mornings, but and it would take me an hour of just sitting in a chair staring at a wall to wake up. But triathlon and many cups of coffee have kind of changed me into a morning person, in that now I have way more energy if I get up in the morning and work right. out. And at the time, it was because I didn't have a choice. If I had these triathlon goals that I wanted to achieve, there's no other way to fit it in without getting up and doing at least one workout in the morning. You know, when I was training a lot, I was doing multiple workouts in a day. And so that changed me into a morning person. And now I'm probably going to be a morning person the rest of my life. You know, I like starting my day with exercise if I can. You know, and that's it. I have more energy throughout the day if I do that.
And here's the next thing to go along with that. You know, you made it a priority, right? And that's step number one. But the other thing I do want to point out is, because I haven't been a pro, I have plenty of friends that are. I actually coach pros. And so I now see a difference in the pro and the amateur. And we're talking about prioritization, right? If you have these goals, you will do what you have to do to get them done.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I'd like to discuss. And this is, to me, one of the biggest things is, you know, people listen to this, you're going to say, oh, he trained 9 hours a week and went and won an Ironman. Whoop-de freaking do. I can't relate to that at all. Well, true, right? They step back and there are people that put in 30 hours a week and they'll never go under 10 for an Ironman. Right. And so but what I want to point out is that doesn't matter. Yes, there are some genetics in play for sure. Yes, there is background and experience in play, which is what you were just talking about in terms of the years of volume and base and consistency. But I think, you know, I think that years or background and genes are only 10% of the equation. I think 90% of the success in endurance sports comes from consistency. And that's, you know, the thing that I've noticed about pros and the elites working with them is they don't miss. And there are times family comes up, life comes up. If they do miss, they don't make that workout up 2 days later, right? They work with their coach or they move on. Yeah. We either reposition it, find another time that it fits and doesn't add fatigue where we don't need it, so on and so forth. Or they say, done, moving on. And that's a big, big thing that I see a lot of age groupers doing is they'll miss. And the next thing you know, they'll have a random swim that they should have done on Monday that shows up on Friday. Right. Along with a run, and the next day they've got a bike and a run or whatever. And so it's just that – it's that consistency over time. And then, you know, when we do miss, how do we react from that? What do we do, and how do we move forward from that?
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of people, you know, when I'm working with athletes, you see kind of the different mentality in that there are those people that basically never miss a workout, right? They plan ahead. And if they miss one – once a month, say, it really doesn't affect things. But then there's other people that think they're missing once a month, but they're actually missing once or twice a week, you know, and to them, every time it happens, it's like, oh, well, this came up or this or that. And they don't even realize how inconsistent their being. And I, you know, with the college team I work with, I tell them, you know, guys, like, plan ahead, right? If you look at your day and you know, oh, sometimes I get off work late, so I should plan ahead and make sure I have my stuff. You know, I've had an athlete say before they didn't have time to drive home to get their swim stuff after work and then drive back to the pool because they got off work later. And to me, that was just really poor lack of planning ahead. You know, I said, why don't you bring your stuff to work if you know, hey, there's a chance I may get off work late. I'll have my swim stuff with me, you know. And in that case, I was kind of planning ahead to fail instead of planning to prepare. And
now, hey, Mark, real quick, that athlete specifically, I'm going to assume that they don't like to swim.
No, not necessarily. They're an okay swimmer.
Okay. I was just my thing was I would forget it because I didn't want to go swimming. It's like, don't have it. Can't do
it's
it.
It's an easy excuse. But someone once told me, and this is something I use with my high school teams. You know, I tell them that, hey, guys, at the end of the day, you're going to have either a result or an excuse. And it's kind of crazy how true that is. And I tell them that, you know what, there's days I go to bed and I have a couple excuses. And sometimes those excuses are valid. You know, it's not saying that it's not a valid excuse at times. But it's important to recognize that it's an excuse, right? And if you had a list of things you wanted to get done and you didn't get certain ones done, there's a reason you did it, right? And sometimes I think it's too often for us to live in that world of excuses instead of that world of results, right? Where we have results at the end of every day of kind of accomplishing the goals we had. And like you said, it's about prioritizing. If something is a priority to you, you will make time for it. And I realize everyone has different priorities. Should you, you know, put training for an Ironman above your family? No. That priority level may shift during that last 2 months as you prep for a race, right? But it is prioritizing. And if you want to do something, you'll find time for it. And if that thing is not important enough to you, it won't be a priority in finding time for it. And that's how most people just don't realize, I think. Most people aren't very conscious or conscientious of those prioritizing decisions they make during the day. Because we're all doing it. It's just some of us are very conscious that, hey, I'm making this a priority, so I'm going to execute my day this way. And other people, it's not quite a priority. They don't realize that they need to be conscious and plan the day out. And so it just doesn't happen. You know, the day doesn't just happen to you. You get to kind of plan and execute your day how you want. And then on those random times where things just blow up, you know, it's not a big deal. But for a lot of people, that happens far more than they realize.
Right, right. Very true. And, you know, you said something there, you know, about having serious goals. And, you know, my thought, and this, so I did this little experiment, you know, as a coach, we're kind of master experimenters, right? We'll put theories in play and things like that. And I did this little experiment, it's been over a year ago, and there was an athlete that struggled with consistency. And so I said, okay, I want to see what their mentality is. And so each week I titled two of their workouts key set. Mm-hmm. Each week. You know, in a 4-week span, that athlete never missed a key set. Uh-huh. They would miss the other stuff that actually was maybe a key set, I just didn't label, or the other stuff that was recovery focused or form or strength focused, but they would never miss a key set. And so I stepped back and started thinking about it. And I for that athlete, the mindset was key set equals results.
Yeah.
Right. And so they thought, oh, this is really important. I got to hammer this in. I got to get this one in. They would make it happen no matter what.
Yeah.
And the big picture is key sets are important. Yes. Because we have to make progress. However, we can't make progress and execute those key sets and make the key sets better down the road if we don't have the consistency and the base to handle the key sets. And that was just something I learned by doing that. Call it twisted, call it what you will, but I realized what made that athlete tick. And they, if they thought something was important, if I told them this is important, they did it.
Yeah.
But if I said, yeah, I mean, it's okay, they'd never do it.
Yeah.
Something that really triggered me and the mindset of that age group athlete was, oh, this must be important. Coach list is a key set. I have to do it.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, it's like I said, it's about the consistency over time, not the one or two
big workouts that you're able to nail each week.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, physiological adaptations occur over a long period of time.
Can you spell that word? Spell that word.
Physiological. I went to college.
kind of your background. So I was just checking. I was just throwing it out there randomly.
I had to break out my anatomy and physiology textbook the other day because I was looking at some studies with endurance athletes and, you know, the heart troubles they have sometimes. And, you know, the papers referencing parts of the heart and the AV node. And I was like, all right, I need to break out the textbook again. I don't remember, but I'm glad I held on to it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, those adaptations occur over a long period of time. And, the success I had this year was I've called it cashing in on my fitness investments. Cause what I realized last year, that year and a half where I wasn't racing or I wasn't training, what I would call training, I was exercising 3 to 5 days a week. And even this year training for the Ironman, I probably had 2 or 3 different weeks where I did almost no training. And it was because of various reasons. I had a couple weekends where I didn't ride or run at all. The 2 weekends before Buffalo Springs 70.3 that I won, I didn't ride my bike.
I won.
But it just, you know, it's because of the years of like really hard training that I did, you know, and, you know, 1 weekend I was doing taxes and the other weekend something else was going on.
You were recovering from doing taxes, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. But it showed me that, and even that last year, I would, you know, hop in a little 5K or something like that. And just by staying healthy, I could still go out and race and have fun. You know, not a long event. I had to train for some of the longer events this year. But I had spent, you know, I had the benefit of spending 10, 12 years of my life training really consistently. And, you know, in the same way you put investments into a 401k or an IRA fund, you know, and then after 20 years, it's kind of accumulated and you can start withdrawing on that. You know, that's kind of what I was doing is, you know, I put 10 to 12 years of investing and now, sure, I can train half of someone and still race better than them because I made those investments over time. But I think that's something to reassure people that if you just stay healthy and exercise a little bit, you know, and stay consistent, it's going to accrue. Each year is going to build off itself. And sometimes what you see is the hard work on you do for the bike in a spring season, it may help in that, you know, summer Ironman. It may not be quite what you help, but then all of a sudden the next year you'll really start realizing those benefits. Or in the fall, that accumulated work will really pay off. We saw this with one kid in our cross country season. I remember 1 year he spent all summer running 100, 110 miles a week all summer. And he had a pretty good fall cross country season, but it wasn't quite what he had hoped. He'd trained so hard. And then the next summer he still ran consistently, but 60 to 80 miles, you know, he didn't feel like he worked at it quite as hard. And then that fall, he set the school record in the 8K, qualified for nationals, had the best season of his life, you know. And could he have done that if he had just spent that one season running 60 to 80 miles? No. It was because that year before he'd also put in that work, and he had some success right after that kind of bout of heavy training, but that next year built on it, you know. And each year after that of being consistent with his training helped him build and get faster. So it takes time, you know. And we kind of live in a culture of wanting immediate gratification.
I want it now. Yeah. Give it to me now. Yep. And that's, this sport is an investment sport. And I've said that before. And you, when we chatted on the phone the other day, and that's what you said, you know, you withdrew from your fitness bank. It's like, that's exactly the way that I try to explain it. You know, you put in a dollar here, you put in 20 cents here, you put in, you know, 40 cents here. Next thing you know, you've got $100,000 in this bank account. And, you know, which is about what you probably had, you know, from a fitness standpoint when you cashed out or you started to make withdrawals. And again, it's that consistency over time. It's not that one big block. It's not that one good year. It's year after year after year, which is what's hard, I think, in the sport. the sport has, when I say the sport, I mean triathlon specifically, has a very high turnover. You know, average time in sports, 3 or 4 years. People do their Ironman, I'm out. Well, yeah. For the people that it's a lifetime sport, you know, for instance, a guy like Mark Miller out of Lafayette, Mark's done 27 or 28 Ironmans now. He's been doing it forever. But he's got so much fitness built up. He really doesn't have to do much. He can go and do an Ironman, which sounds crazy. Right. But it's the investments that he's made. And when I first started coaching Kendall, that was our discussion. She wanted to be fast right now. And I said, look, I'll make you fast, but it's going to take 3 or 4 years. Like, it's not, you're not going to be fast right now. If you get fast, and this is, Mark, you can probably, I don't know if you remember this or not, but when I came to you, I was broken as an athlete. I was injured. And I think it was going into maybe December when we started working together. And I remember it because I ended up with IT band syndrome, because the coach I had before worked me like I was an elite level athlete. And mentally, I wanted to be, and I have the ability to go further mentally than I did physically at that point in time. And so I got broken. And it was a consistency building up, and it was the small chunks, the small pieces that you put in place as a coach for me that built me back safely and effectively, and you know, has definitely been a platform for where I'm at today. So, you know, then that's not an uncommon story in running, in cycling, in triathlon.
Well, and we see, because of that draw of Ironman, there's a lot of people that train for an Ironman, you know, and they do their 20, 22 week training plan. And then they take a 3 month break or 4 month break or half a year break. And then they pick another Ironman and train for that. And with that approach, it's going to be, you can definitely improve each Ironman because you do get that. It's going to be hard to improve as consistently though, because you're basically alternating half the year you're training, half the year you're not, you know, and that is why I also think, I personally don't believe that consistent Ironman racing is sustainable for most American individuals that have a job and family. Even one a year, I think, can really be pushing it, because too many things start to suffer. But if you train, we have a couple adults that train with our group, and there's a few of them that have never done an Ironman, you know, and they're good half Ironman athletes, you know, placing like top 20 in men's 40 to 44, qualifying for ITU long distance worlds, and just does not, he's been doing triathlon a while, has no desire to do an Ironman, you know, because it's the time aspect. And, right. Because of that, he almost trains too consistently, but that's a little another discussion.
let's not go there.
Yeah. You know, he stays healthy and exercises year round, and he doesn't really get that burnout too much because it's a priority for him. And he's a good example of really made some life changes 10 years ago and lost 50 pounds and, you know, adopted a vegetarian lifestyle and really turned his life around a little bit. And now exercise is a priority, you know, and he's a very good athlete. And he makes time for it year round, and there's seasons where he's training a little more than others, but, you know, I think also that not jumping on that Ironman train so soon is what part of helps him do that. Because I mean, training, I got to experience that this year. I mean, training for that Ironman, it was mentally harder than it was physically, you know, and I knew that going in, and even the same recovering from it, you know, physically I could have turned around and, done another race within a few weeks probably, but mentally you're not, it takes a while to be in a place where you want to do that much again. And so I think, you know, the problem is so many people are drawn to that Ironman, thing that they, that allure of accomplishing something like that. That you don't realize, hey, you can have a great lifestyle if you don't feel like you need to do an Ironman every 10 months, you know? And I think it is something, or even more, you know, there's so many people do 2 or 3 a year, which, totally blows my mind. But
we won't get into it much. Maybe this is a conversation for another day, but physiologically, what does that do to the body? I mean, there's so many reports and research and stuff out there. And, you know, like you're saying, it's hard to be consistent when your body's still completely wrecked 4 weeks after an event. Like you can't be mentally and physiologically consistent at that point in time, because your body's like, no, you know. Yeah. Maybe that's a discussion we'll have another day with your extensive background, and your degree field and stuff. So maybe that's a maybe that's a good chat for another day of what the cost of that type of stuff really is.
Yeah. I would just say don't be afraid to enjoy doing shorter distance races and less training, because it allows you to stay active. You know, it's fun to do some of that other stuff, and you can do it with friends and you can do it with family. And if you enjoy doing it, and you're able to incorporate a family lifestyle into that, you're going to be able to be much more consistent. And that's going to help you more in the long run than it is training really hard for an Ironman for 4 months and then taking an 8 month break. You know, if you can incorporate, that staying healthy regularly, into your lifestyle, that consistency is actually going to pay off more than a single 20 week Ironman training block followed by a 40 week, you know, not training block.
Not training block. Yeah. I'm going into a rest block. Oh yeah. How long? We're going to go about 40 weeks on this one, I think.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, I'm going to end you on that note right there, because that's a very solid, you know, final piece of advice from a very seasoned athlete, very experienced coach, and just an all around bad dude. So, Mark, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they reach out? How can they check out if they're in the San Antonio area or across the country? How can they get in touch with you? Maybe, I don't know, autographs or something, right? Are you still doing that? Yeah. You still doing that book signing?
Yeah, maybe in a few years. We'll see. yeah, you can just email me. It's Mark, M-A-R-K, at paragontraining.org. You can go to – there's a contact form on the website too, paragontraining.org. And that kind of shows all our different races and teams and events and group training opportunities and stuff like that. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram too. So I think Mark Cerrone, you find me.
And the last thing I do want to say is, you know, Mark, we operate, I'll call it competing, and I'll use air quotes for those that can't see me. We operate competing businesses, right? We operate in the same space of endurance coaching, but you know, that's the beauty of what I'm trying to do here, is to get people like you on that are super knowledgeable, way more experienced at endurance events than I can ever imagine. And, you know, you bring a different perspective and a different angle. So I greatly appreciate you coming on today. I'm sure we'll have you on another 8 or 10 times, maybe 30 times. I don't know. Maybe I'll just give the podcast to you, whatever. But I think it'll be fun as we go along to get to tap into more of what's going on in that nice round bald head of yours. And
hey, this is a podcast. No one can see that. You don't have to give away that information.
Too late. I just imagery is the key to what we do. I need to paint a picture for people. Your beard is fantastic and your head is bald, and your head has been bald as long as I've known you.
It's been a while. Yeah. Hey, if you want to use your testosterone for growing hair, that's fine. I got other purposes.
That's awesome. So outside of that, thanks for listening in. We will have another one up soon, and I'm sure we'll have Mark on here in just a few weeks. So thanks, guys. And thanks again, Mark.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy.
Hey, thanks again for listening in to our podcast. I hope you took something away from it. I hope it was informative and it wasn't too boring. Sometimes I can get a little boring. He can get a little boring. So we greatly appreciate you listening in. If you have any questions, thoughts, if you want to come on a podcast with us, you have an area of expertise you'd love to share, or some questions you might have about anything we said, or maybe something else we could cover in the future, feel free to reach out to me, Jeremy@mindrightendurance.com. And like I said earlier, we truly appreciate you listening, and stay tuned for more to come.